0123 today.
Watching at least some pieces of the Michael Jackson Memorial. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney here with you, the captain of the ship called America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. We're sailing through a different couple of things during this hour, including, obviously, Michael Jackson. Plus, while Obama's away, a lot happening in the capital city, especially when it comes to health care reform. Rahm Emanuel pushing like a rabid dog for action on the healthcare reform platform and to see it happen now. In the meantime, there are some others that are on the Hill that are reconsidering taxing healthcare. So a lot happening that could affect you and me. And also the climate change bill. You got small businesses starting to react. Remember, there is power in numbers. The G8 on Wednesday in Italy, getting set to happen. Obama flying from Russia and his meeting with the Prime Minister and the President of Russia, which what is accomplished, who knows, conversations about nukes and stockpiles, but so much else left on the table. And then a big juicy headline in the Moscow Times saying that the people, take him or leave him, we're indifferent to Obama. He's not used to that kind of a reception. Because usually it's nothing but accolades, and he's like a rock star almost anywhere that he goes. And, of course, Obama, even though the numbers have dropped a little bit, still enjoying some pretty big popularity numbers. In the meantime, as I said, lots happening in Los Angeles. It was Celebrity Central at the memorial service for the King of Pop. But what did you expect? I have to say it was tastefully done. And things seem pretty normal. And this one piece of this crazy stuff that's happened since the death of Michael Jackson. And here's what Kobe Bryant and Magic Johnson, a little tiny piece of this, what they said when they took to the stage for that memorial.
Y'all know that nobody ever gave on stage like Michael Jackson. But Michael was also a true humanitarian who gave just as much off stage as he did on the stage. Michael and his family came from humble roots, and Michael always cared very deeply for those in need. And beyond all of his records that he broke as a recording artist, Michael even made the Guinness Book of World Records for most charities supported by pop stars. Michael Jackson will be with us forever.
This is a celebration of his life, of his legacy. I want to thank Michael for opening up so many doors for African Americans to be on daytime shows, late night shows. He allowed Kobe and I to have our jerseys in people's homes across the world because he was already there. And he opened all those doors for us.
All right, so there is still this debate over Michael Jackson and the coverage of Jackson leading up to this memorial service. And then this comes out, a Pew poll shows 80% of Black Americans are closely following the drama that's following the death of Jackson, and only 20% of white Americans, according to the Pew poll, are giving their full attention to the story. In our last show, we let you hear what Congressman Pete King had to say attacking attacking Michael Jackson as a pervert and pedophile, and why is there all this television coverage and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, here's the deal. There is too much coverage. There was too much coverage, in other words. For the memorial service, I think it's different. If there had been little pockets of coverage, of course, and then the memorial service, there was a big deal. But, I mean, I won't say it again. I sound like a broken record or somebody telling the same story over and over again. Absolutely, hands down, why is that happening? Because the thirst for the information is there. And the people who run the media, meaning the editors or the owners and operators of these stations, What do they want? They want money. That's the bottom line. And if people are going to watch and they're going to sell products and they're going to be able to sell big chunky rates for commercials surrounding their coverage, that's exactly what it is. All right, let's take our leadoff man. Al is listening to us in Canada. Hey, Al.
Hi, kudos to Bozeman, Montana for picking up your show. There's a radio station in good old Bozeman, Montana that's got your show. But anyway, the Reverend Al Sharpton wants Michael, somebody told me that the Reverend Al Sharpton wants Michael Jackson's portrait on every American dollar bill. Did you hear that? You know, the way that money moonwalks out of my pocket, it's an excellent idea. I don't know about your pocket, but I think that, but you know, and also, did you know that I heard a psychic, have you ever heard of a psychic comedian? There's a psychic comedian that's on the radio, and he said that St. Peter has put Michael Jackson in a mansion next door to Elvis's. And Elvis has already hung a licking on him. He said they've already scrapping. Elvis hung a licking on him. He's still PO'd that Michael married his daughter. Did you hear that?
I like that. I wish I had heard that. Actually, that would be funny. So I agree. You're always here to add the levity to the show. All right, Al, thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
How do you follow that up? Where's that rim shot? We need a walking rim shot for Al in Canada when he calls up. There it is. He's like the king of the one-liners. It's funny, he makes the joke about St. Peter and heaven and whatever. There was one person who made the reference. Well, there might have been a couple, actually, because a lot of people spoke at his memorial service. But Brooke Shields said he's probably looking down somewhere sitting in a crescent moon right now. I thought that was an interesting way to say it, actually. And you could tell that she was really moved by the tribute and was really shaken by his death. And, I mean, I'll say it, because I've been heavily critical about how much coverage that we're seeing. But I think that this was tastefully done. It was really well done, in fact. And the person who put this on, it was the concert promoter that was supposed to do the London, the 50 dates in London. And they threw it together pretty quickly, but they did, an excellent, excellent job. Now, this isn't the last you've heard of the whole Michael Jackson thing. There's still probably going to be debates over custody and other things related to Jackson, particularly will there be any criminal charges against the doctors who gave him the drugs that he wanted, how do you get a prescription for some of the drugs? One of them was the thing that knocks you out when you have, Diprovan, when the stuff knocks you out when you're having surgery. So how are you getting that? Five different doctors? I think that some people are going to pay for what they prescribed to Jackson. But see, it goes to show you have enough money or you pay someone enough money and they're willing to bend the laws or the oath that they took as a doctor in writing those prescriptions. All right, coming up here on America Tonight, we'll let you hear some of the ins and outs of that memorial service course as we move along. But the health care reform, the heavy lobbying that's continuing to go on Capitol Hill. We'll talk about that, specifically Rahm Emanuel really pushing for some action on this. And there's no question that the chief of staff is trying to turn the minds of people who are skeptical to finalize a plan and to make this one of the crowning achievements of this new administration. But I think there's a lot of holes in it, and I know many of you do too. Hang with us.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50%. 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold, hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
Tuesday. People all around the world watched in Japan, in Australia, anywhere, you name it. People were in the streets and they were very moved by this memorial service. Jackson was supposed to have performed 50 comeback shows, as you know, starting next week in London, but that obviously won't happen. And this tribute was put together by the folks who were putting that concert together. And I've already said this, but they did an incredible job. It was tastefully done, no doubt. A couple of hours long, pretty orderly in Los Angeles. There were over 3,000 police officers, so nothing got out of control. Fans mourning, celebrating, and I'm sure the television ratings for this will be pretty high, as most of the networks played it once and then played it over and over again. At some point, you are sure to have seen at least a snippet of it, and will this be the last of Michael Jackson and the controversies? Certainly not. I'm sure there's going to be much more to come in the upcoming weeks, particularly when you're talking about the estate or you're talking about the custody of the kids. And I said this already, but the doctors who gave Michael Jackson all the prescription drugs and more that one person should take, and we'll see what criminal charges, if any, are thrown against the wall at them, and will they stick? In the meantime, speaking of drugs and health care and affording health care, couldn't be a bigger raging debate suddenly in this country. Remember when the Clintons were talking about it, or Hillary Clinton, that was squashed pretty easily, I think, despite all the conversation about it. In this case, Rahm Emanuel now is trying to lay the groundwork or more of it, pushing, meeting for a half an hour with House Dems, trying to come up with some legislation to reform the health care system. And the idea is, in his mind and in this administration, is to get this done, get it signed, and voila, let's move on from this. Emanuel was left back from Obama's trip to Russia this week. Normally, he probably would have been there, but the reason is to do this, is to work on one of the huge domestic policy goals of the Obama White House. And the idea is to be connected and try to take a bunch of swings at people who are skeptical at the health care reform, like many of us listening to what could happen, the so-called public option. And then the idea, which the public option, of course, in the legislation allows Americans to, if this were to go through, to purchase health care insurance from the federal government, right? So it was kind of one of those rank-and-file meetings. It was closed door. Pelosi was part of the meeting. And what they're talking about, the White House, or not the White House, rather, the House Ways and Means Committee is crafting the plan to tax what they're calling high-income Americans to control health care. So we're still talking about that number of 250,000. Maybe a 4% tax on the income of taxpayers who earn more than that to push off the cost, because we know it's unclear what it's going to be, because we don't know. But some of the early numbers that have been run, it seems to be about $1 trillion. And there's no doubt that something has to be done, because it's ridiculous that we're 37th in healthcare or whatever the asinine number is. But at the same time, do we really want this shoved down our throats with so many of what I'm going to call, in reference to something that really stuck in a lot of people's craws, hanging chads, because there's just too much of it when it comes to this story. So now you're going to tax people 4% who make $250,000 so they can pay for the how many, I don't know, illegal people in this country who are stumbling into emergency rooms, et cetera, being treated, and then the hospitals say they can't afford it, so they're heaping the cost of health care, of what they're charging for services, on the people with insurance. It's just, it's out of control. That's what the problem is. And so once again, here we are behind the eight ball trying to make up for what wasn't enforced before, and paddling as fast as we can without a paddle, right? Here's what you need to know, and somebody said this to me the other day. I've done some checking on Canada and the health care that you have in Canada. Did you know the average wait after seeing a doc in Canada is about 4 months to be treated? And also, only 44% of the new drugs on the market were approved by the Canadian government, and patients had to wait an average of 1 year to get them. 1.7 million didn't have access to a family physician a couple of years ago. I don't know. So you're going to wait how long for non-urgent cardiac surgery? 27 days? That's the average? Oof. Senior citizens not getting hip replacements, knee replacements, things that they need? I don't know that I want that kind of health care, do you? So it depends on who you talk to in Canada. Others will say it depends on what they're being treated for. That it's cheap, it's easy, I don't have to pay for it, and it's ridiculous what you have to pay in the United States. And we know that people in the United States are going to other countries because they can pay less for health care. But give me a break. Do we want an expensive plan, a plan that, as someone suggested to me, is going to cover 20 million illegal folks? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I mean, look where we're going. Where are we headed? That we're going to all be totally dependent on the government just to survive? That's the only way we're going to be able to stay alive in this game? No. No, thank you. I'll take my chances. Put me in the crowd that I'm going to stand there at the edge of the table and I'm going to roll the dice. If I had a brilliant idea, I would throw it out on the airwaves. I've certainly had enough guests and talked about this and talked about what is it exactly we're trying to accomplish here. A massive tax on the wealthy to pay for health care. And this, to me, is just a grab bag of trying to figure out a way to ram this through. It's a bad deal all the way around, and it hasn't been thought out. That's the other problem. So we're going to hurry up and get health care reform, and then we're going to hurry up and push through the climate control bill. I don't think so. Let's hope that this push to change the minds of the people voting, if your representatives, let's hope that there's more common sense and they analyze this a little bit closer. Because I'll tell you, I don't like the way that the lay of the land is right now. I think ultimately all of us are going to pay deeply and dearly for this. Okay, so the system's broke. Well, there's definitely a much better way to fix this. And this reconsidering taxing on health care, because that's the part of it, right? There's no joke when it comes to the American public. It's no joke that polling certainly shows that there's massive public opposition to this whole idea because we can't afford it, right? I mean, how much can you possibly tax? What are the other options to pay for millions of people, 40 million people or more, who don't have health insurance? In private talks, they've been discussing a tax on workers who get coverage that has high premiums. Do you want to see that? Ooh. Hang with us.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worry how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from? You know that the economy is getting worse,
but there is hope.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim. Be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
About your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Do you have more than $15,000 in credit card debt? Before you spend another dollar on minimum payments, call American Debt Specialists right now and find out how much of your debt can be eliminated. That's right, eliminated. Call 800-237-7042. While the government is bailing out the credit card companies, we're here to make sure you get help too. Just one call could reduce your credit card debt by as much as 60%. 60%! We'll bring you peace of mind with reduced debt and just one low monthly payment that fits your budget. It's simple, and we'll get the job done for you fast.
It was amazing. They helped me consolidate all my credit card debt into one low monthly payment.
Now, we don't have to file for bankruptcy.
Managing one payment is giving me my life back.
For a free debt evaluation and to learn how you can save thousands right now, call 800-237-7660. That's 1-800-237-7660. 800-237-7660.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today. 1-800-210-1922. With Chews for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchews.com.
Service. Kate Delaney hanging out with you here in these airwaves each and every night. America Tonight, the name of the show. And, of course, that memorial, lots of people either watching the replay of it or snippets of it, etc. Is this it for the massive amount of coverage? Probably not. There's going to be pockets of it here and there. But I've already said this a couple times, and I'll stand by what I say. As critical as I've been of the avalanche of ridiculous stories. I mean, of course, you're going to cover it when it happens. We get that, all that. But just the constant, the cycling around of it was, it's been over 2 weeks. And ending it here with the memorial is actually fitting because it was tastefully done, well done, boom, we're done with it, etc. Not a lot of problems in Los Angeles, a lot of people watching. It was about his music and other little stories about Jackson all surrounding really his professional life mostly. And I thought that was probably a very wise decision, and it was really well done. Barack Obama was in Moscow, is now in Italy for the G8. We're going to tell you what he said about his meeting with Putin, the prime minister of that country. But first, he did react to Michael Jackson's death and the service and, of course, his contributions. And here's what he said.
What I do believe is that black sports figures and black entertainers helped to create a comfort level with African Americans that had an impact historically.
All right, because a lot was made. Al Sharpton talked about it and others did as well, that if there hadn't been a Michael Jackson who crossed the barriers pretty much of color lines across the board, that there wouldn't be some of these opportunities for the other people to rise to some of the positions that they've been in, because there was a comfort factor there. And that was mentioned not by just Sharpton, by some other people at the memorial. In other words, what were his contributions? Charitable wise, he was huge with charities. In fact, we let you hear that obviously just a short while ago, Kobe Bryant and Magic Johnson saying that he was in the book of the Guinness Book of World Records for being the pop star who had given the most to charities. On to Obama and Putin. They had a meeting that was in the morning and talked about a couple of different things. Ultimately, what does the president leave with in his back pocket? He wasn't incredibly well received by the people. They just were kind of lukewarm about him. I said before, that's not necessarily a surprise in Russia, but he's been such a rock star every place else, it might have been a tad surprising to him. Here's what he had to say about his meeting with Putin.
He is strong. He cares deeply about Russia. He has understandable concerns about Russia's role in the world, and he has suspicions about the United States. And I found him to have a practical bent. I suspect Prime Minister Putin would completely agree on is that he's not sentimental about how he views the world.
Wow, what did you get from that conversation? Well, he loves Russia. Okay, that makes sense. He's practical about how he views the world. He's not sentimental. What does that mean? He's a cold Ruski. And he doesn't care. But it's a formality, and he's meeting with us, so we got to do it. We got to reach across. Maybe we can warm that freezing heart up. Ultimately, Obama agrees to cut some nukes, as does the president of Russia. But they are far apart on a few other things. Now it's off to the summit. In fact, it's probably underway as we speak in Italy, and the focus there is going to be what else? The economic crisis and so-called global warming, and what will the concessions be from other countries, which means there's more of a press to get the climate control bill to go through the Senate so the U.S. holds up its end of the bargain, whatever that bargain might be. Also, Obama commented in one of his many interviews with one of the network guys on Joe Biden's comments where he talked about the economy and the stimulus, because now there's a conversation that's been suddenly making its way through Washington about the possibility of a second stimulus. Would there be a second stimulus that would be needed to jolt the economy based on the fact that the first one completely fell flat and unemployment actually jumped up in a different direction? So here's what Obama said about Joe Biden's comments, that they kind of underestimated what was happening with the economy and what the stimulus would do?
I would actually, rather than say misread, we had incomplete information. What I would say is that in some areas you're seeing the economic engine turn. But what we always knew was that A, this recession was going to be deep. B, it was going to last for a while.
All right, so we knew it was going to be deep and it was going to last for a while. All right, well, again, if you want to read into those comments, okay, so we knew it was going to be deep, it was going to last for a while, but that's not what the American people were told when the stimulus deal was being pushed through. This was a lifeline. In other words, you were throwing us a lifeline that was going to be worth it because more jobs would be created. It turns out that's not really the case because unemployment is still going in the opposite direction. A lot of the jobs were shovel jobs and temporary, or a lot of those jobs haven't even kicked in, I guess, at this point. But once they do, and most of that money's been already allocated, in fact, it all has been allocated, you're not going to see a big jump in in employment in some areas in the United States. So it was a big failure, in other words. It didn't work. The numbers were off, and it didn't work. So the push for the stimulus, we need it, and we're going to pay the $787 billion. It didn't do enough. It didn't do what it was supposed to do. So would you be on – I don't even need to ask this question. Is there anybody out there that thinks, well, geez, let's get a second stimulus? Let's have another stimulus because the first one worked so well. And the answer, of course, to that is absolutely not. We've been talking about Honduras a bunch on the show. And a congressman from Michigan has actually been WorldNet Daily has been talking about this bunch, that you've got Thaddeus McCotter, the congressman from Michigan, a Republican, who's been grilling Obama about his open support for Manuel Zelaya, who is the ousted president of Honduras. And the reason he's pushing is he's wondering if he knew of Zelaya's narcotics trafficking. Zelaya was taken, of course, by Honduras military people from his home at the end of June and put on a plane to Costa Rica. Why? Because they accused him of trying to violate their own national constitutional limitation to one term for a president. But his term wasn't up, but he wanted to move it so that he would continue to serve. And Obama has condemned that, saying, this is a coup, and that the military quickly stood down. And we know this, the military quickly stood down, and in place of Zelaya, a member of their own political party was named to replace him, Micheletti, as I've talked about him before. So there's been lots of arguments back and forth over Zelaya's actions, the response, whether or not there still is a democratic system, and that sort of stuff. And here's the thing. Zelaya is, again, one of Chavez's cronies, no question. So the fact that he allegedly was a drug trafficker, is this the guy that you want back restored to power in Honduras? So is this, putting our nose in this business to a government that allowed tons of cocaine to be flown into that country, Honduras, for cash on its way to the United States, man. And he knew it, supposedly, that there were thousands of pounds and packages of money that were part of that whole drug trafficking thing. And there is proof of this, that every night three or four Venezuelan planes landed with the permission of the right authorities to bring that stuff in and then move it through. Zelaya was the guy who supposedly knew about it. And our government's backing him in these negotiations coming up? Hang with me.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
You already know that drinking pure, high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline, to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. 269-216-9767 today.
For Obama in Moscow, now it's Italy where our president is, and of course the G8. Major things being discussed, in fact really the only things that are being discussed, the economy, money matters, and global warming, which would mean concessions or how much are you given or what are you trying to do for the planet, and pretty much the same thing that we've heard before. In the meantime, somebody not part of the G8, Iran, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, is trying to put the past behind him, in other words, the dispute over the elections, and declared on TV that the contests were clean, fair, and actually marked the start of a brand spanking new era. And what era would that be? So his speech comes when the country's top three reformist leaders are trying to push hard for the opposition, and they're demanding that ruling clerics end the heavy, heavy, heavy security atmosphere that's been imposed on Tehran after the elections and free the people detained and move forward that way. It was actually Ahmadinejad's first national speech since the Supreme Leader declared the election results valid despite all the protests from other candidates and weeks of people on the streets claiming that this is pure fraud and that the elections were absolutely rigged. And during the half-hour speech, Iranians in many parts of Tehran actually were shouting from the rooftops, death to the dictator, and this defiance still takes place even almost a month after June 12th. So good for the people. They're still struggling for a way to spread the discontent since the vote. But it's been pretty tough because you have the police, you have the Revolutionary Guards, you have the militia belting people, taking people away, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, we really don't, the rest of the world doesn't know very much about it because the internet, of course, shut down in that part of the world, and so many of the journalists booted, not able to cover what's happening at this point. So it's a guessing game or stuff that's being released when it can be released through Twitter or other Facebook or other ways. You know, we had one of the men responsible for the whole Facebook thing on the show, and he talked about that in trying to turn up the heat and getting out the word and seeing the pictures and hearing what was happening. Couldn't be bigger, but every time the portal opens, somebody tries to shut it down. Geez, can you imagine? Of course, it's Tehran. So Ahmadinejad is, as usual, pushing forward with whatever his agenda is, but it's not really what many of the people in that country want. The more that people find a way to protest, the more possibility that change could be affected. And here's what's interesting about Iran. At this point in Iran, you have so many of those clerics who normally would be vocal and say something, not saying anything, and in fact admitting that the elections were rigged. And you would never have had that before in that city. Of course, you had the revolution in 79, but pretty much otherwise, everyone's on board. They're towing the line. Is it a government about religion? Is it a government that combines religious overtones with semi-democracy? No, it's not a democracy at all. It's a dictatorship. And the dictator is finding that there are fewer people that are on board with what he's trying to do. And what Ahmadinejad is trying to do is to snuff out any opposition, obviously, and put forth the same crap that he's been spewing as long as I've covered him on America Tonight, that any time something goes wrong, it's the fault of the West, particularly the U.S. The U.S. started the unrest. The U.S. planted some of what happened as far as the coverage that was ugly about Tehran and the protest. That came from the United States, which is bogus and we know it. So will he tumble? Wouldn't that be great? But I think there's a better chance that you'll see some other regime fall before Ahmadinejad will. I hope that the people still try to express the discontent and it doesn't get squelched and the opposition how much better are they, but I hope that they continue to stir the pot because that's when maybe something can happen. But the more that time goes by, the tougher that becomes. Well, here we are in the second week of July, and this time next week, in fact, the 13th on Monday, Sonia Sotomayor will be facing the music from the Senate. The Senate, of course, whether or not they're going to confirm the nominee for the Supreme Court, I don't have to say this to all of you, it's such a smart audience, but we all know this is a lifetime appointment. So the criticism of Sotomayor is starting to circle around again. It kind of was quelled by all the other things that were happening, the health care reform, the climate control bill, you know, et cetera, et cetera, the situation overseas with Iran, what was happening with North Korea, what's happening with the pullout in Iraq, and now the efforts in Afghanistan. So eyes again starting to focus on Sotomayor. And ultimately, there are some new things that are starting to bubble up and some criticisms or people that are giving Sotomayor the stamp of approval, like the American Bar Association, which is a national lawyers group. They rated her as well qualified to be a justice after the members conducted confidential interviews with her colleagues. That's how they do it. They poured through her records and writings to look at qualifications and integrity and temperament, I guess, things that they were looking for, and said that the marks would actually be pretty high. So the Senate Judiciary Committee is going to open those hearings on Monday, as I said, about her nomination to replace Justice David Souter on the Supreme Court. If she's confirmed, she would be the first Hispanic to serve. Of course, there are people that don't want to see that happen. The NRA, very, very influential, needless to say, with Republicans, and some of the more conservative Democrats say that senators should question her on her views on the Second Amendment and curbs on the right to bear arms. And so will that happen? Also, they're also talking about, in particular, some of the rulings as far as the appeals court were concerned in that direction and the firefighters ruling as well. They're going to bring that up absolutely, especially what just happened with the Supreme Court on that, because as Mitch McConnell, the Republican from Kentucky, said, hey, it's a troubling philosophy for any judge, let alone one nominated by the Supreme Court, to convert empathy into favoritism for a particular group. So, you know, that's going to be part of it as well. And there's a press by a lot of the conservatives to actually delay a final vote until September. And there's been kind of a, you know, there hasn't been much of a push on this whole debate over, you know, what to, as far as dates are concerned, there hasn't been much of a push over the president's nominee, with, you know, to enter the fray or not, drawing the debate out. Would it be better for the country? Would it help to flush things out a little bit more? I'm thinking it's going to go through pretty quickly. I mean, let's face it. You have the GOP senators, and they're not saying that they're blocking any of this. McConnell's been the most vocal, and I don't think he's going to back a delay to try to push that vote off until September. I think this is one that, while it might be wrought with some potholes for Sotomayor, I think, frankly, that her nomination goes through, but I'm not going out on a big limb by saying that. As always, you can shoot us emails, dayornightamericatonight.net.